That's Napa know-how.
Three Kings Public House is a local favorite that is growing in popularity. Why? How about happy hour specials that demand attention? Like half off of all draft beers, $2 off wine by the glass, $3.99 rail cocktails, and $5.99 select appetizers. And here's the kicker. More than 30 rotating drafts per location. If you want options, Three Kings has you covered. And the food is just as enticing. Get anything from Cajun pasta to a Korean burger. Go to ThreeKingsPub.com to find a location near you.
Who's ready for super premium fresh halibut imported daily from Alaska, grilled in an extra virgin olive oil with capers, lemon, mushrooms, and Greek oregano? That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Ask for it supreme style with colossal lump crab meat steamed in champagne. Owners Harry and Stavro Karagiannis have been in business for 25 years, and they are open for lunch Tuesday through Friday and dinner 7 days a week. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Mmm, smells good.
Thanks. I picked up a Tuscan herb marinated tenderloin from Hatfield at Schnucks on my way home.
Huh, Hatfield?
They're new in town and are all about raising pork right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They put a pledge to it right on the packages of all the varieties of marinated pork tenderloins, loin fillets, and ribs they offer.
Oh, that's great. But there's a problem.
What?
It's not on the table yet.
Oh. Find better pork for your family at your local Schnucks.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side.
Hey, who's this guy singing? I recognize this. Is this Glenn Campbell?
Can't you hit a pitter-patter?
I thought it was Glenn Fry.
Jimmy Buffett.
And that happy tune.
Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought that when I first started.
Life can be so sweet.
You know, somebody listening out there will actually think we're serious.
Kurt Cobain.
Email me go, oh, Frank, it's Willie Nelson.
I believe that was actually Nirvana's first hit, is this song.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think this, I actually think this is Ozzy Osbourne right here.
Oh, you're right.
It's a young Ozzy.
Yeah. It is. The twins.
Female jealousy is an evolutionary fact, Lemon. If you try to breed it out of them, you end up with a lesbian with hip dysplasia.
What? Was that Alec Baldwin?
That was Alec Baldwin. Yeah.
I'll be rich as
but I believe this is...
He's a lucky guy, isn't he?
I guess so.
He really is.
Why? Because he's famous and rich?
Well, no. Well, it's like, you know, other people do one thing, and you know, they're kicked out forever, and they're labeled and branded. This guy punches people, screams at people, makes horrible videos, cursing out his daughter, does anti-Semitic, I hate Jewish people. Remember that? Pulled over by the cops, starts ranting on Jewish people. Hey, still works.
Did he do that as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I know Mel Gibson did, obviously.
Oh, Gibson was the biggest offender of the, anti-Jewish. And Gibson was pretty much, made to go stand in the corner for about 6 years. You know,
yeah, he was.
And then he's very gradually working his way. It's interesting how some people seem to be bulletproof, and others, you know,
example,
Kramer, Jason Richards, what's his name? Michael Richards, yeah. Michael.
Honestly, I think it's because at the time that most of that stuff went on, Alec Baldwin was on that popular TV show 30 Rock. So even though he did all this stuff in real life, everybody saw him as this, like, you know, kind of hard-going but lovable character on TV, and I think it's hard for people to disassociate the two. You know, what they see on TV is what they think the person is like in real life.
Frank, but the audience unfortunately has no control. It's the politics of the business. Roseanne, case in point, audience loved her too. It looked like the reboot of the show was going to do well. She did one thing that politically Hollywood didn't agree with, and you're done.
It's amazing that you started the show off with this topic, because this isn't really Burke segment material, but this is certainly something that's not affected any St. Louis athlete until today. There's some controversy going on around Blues goalie Jordan Binnington, who's an AHL rookie, who's an NHL Rookie of the Year candidate, because a San Jose hockey reporter today, as the Blues start the playoffs tonight, this has happened to a couple of baseball players, but somebody got into his Twitter account when he was 19 years old and making tweets.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, and he made some, and the Blues sent their vice president of PR to Winnipeg to make sure that reporters didn't ask Binnington about this, and the head coach is refusing to talk about it. They won't let him comment on it. I actually have a copy on my phone of three tweets he made when he was 19 years old that this hockey reporter in San Jose is trying to, and you know he's doing it for a specific reason. He's doing it on the day that the Blues start the playoffs. He's probably
had this publicity.
Yeah, he's probably had this for a couple of months. Jordan Binnington, when he was 19 years old, made three tweets on his Twitter account, and the Twitter account was, so his name's Binnington, B-I-N-N is how it starts, and his Twitter name is Ben Nasty. Okay.
Oh boy.
That's okay. That's his Twitter handle, Ben Nasty. So the first one, so I guess he's making fun of Arabic / Muslim people, okay? Because the first tweet that he made when and he admitted that this is his legitimate account. Mm-hmm. The first tweet he made was, "I was thinking when people who wear the burqas are at the airport, how is the security able to see if that's them in their passport? Seriously."
I think that's funny. A legitimate tweet.
That's the first one. The second one is, they're all quick. I'll read them all to you and let me know what you think. The second one is, also, if you're underage and nervous of getting into a bar, throw the damn burqa on. No way the bouncer will get into that awkward questioning.
Ooh. Hold on. You say, ooh, I don't have a problem with that either. Because
well, I know you don't. But I mean,
you're guaranteed a degree of safety, a degree of ooh, hands off, because this is religious. Mm-hmm. There's a certain guarantee that you'll be let go and come on in and okay, well, you know, I don't have a problem with either one of those. What's the third one?
The third one is, yeah, taxi man, I'd probably rather listen to the radio than listen to you talk on the phone in another language.
I agree with that too. There's nothing more irritating than being in the. I've heard women talk about this in the nail places where the Vietnamese women do, and it's disturbing because you don't know if they're saying, "I can't believe this bitch is back. We got to get rid of her as a customer." You don't know, but that's what they're saying.
I just got a pedicure, and that happens to me all the time. And they don't look at you. They don't look around or anything. And they talk to someone, and the other person starts talking across the room. And they just sit there and go.
I don't think that's right. By the way, I don't have one problem with any one of those tweets. I don't have an issue with any one of those tweets. Here's the problem now in this country. If you make any statement, even if you pose a legitimate question, let's say you could say, boy, I bet they get really hot wearing those things wrapped around their heads in the summer. Okay, that's an observation, a question, curiosity, yet somebody will take that and spin it in a way that it's derogatory. We have to stop doing that, but we're not. We're only getting worse about it.
Well, one, I'm kind of amazed that he's even getting in flack for this, considering how high Islamophobia is over here right now. I mean, you can't turn on the TV or open a Facebook without somebody insulting the Muslim faith or, you know, making fun of it in any way, shape, or form. So I think that's kind of shocking. What was the last one? The third tweet? That one, like, if somebody is from a different country and they want to move here, and then somebody from also that country wants to move here, and they want to speak in their native language, what's the problem?
The third was just him
complaining
about the taxi man speaking in another language.
Oh, yeah, I know. I understand that. But, like, what's the problem if, like, I've been to a restaurant.
No, he's saying he'd rather hear what he plays on the radio than listen to him gibber.
Oh, yeah, but, like,
jabber just, on the phone in another language.
You yourself just said, you know, I don't like that. You know, people speaking in their own language.
This right.
I don't like English. It in front of customers in this country. If you want to speak another language at home, but when you're in business or you're conducting business with us, I think it's discourteous. I think it's rude, and I don't like it when they converse in another language in front of me or you or what. You're in America, and when you're conducting business, let's speak English. So there's never any misunderstanding or that we don't have to assume, because depending on somebody's facial expression and their body language, if they move or look the wrong way, you could be all but certain they just said something really nasty about you. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
I always ask them if they're talking about me.
And you think they're going to tell you?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think they are at all. But
Dan, it's because all those girls look at your feet and they go, ah!
Oh, I know.
What are you saying?
I always tell them, I said, get out your safety goggles because there's going to be some shrapnel flying around.
I want to welcome everybody, and I want to ask Limey a question because he said something very interesting. And I sort of don't like it when we start off like this with this serious stuff, but sometimes I think it's interesting and necessary. First of all, welcome everybody to the April 10th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Limey, you just said something about Islamophobia.
Yeah.
And why do you think that exists? Why do you think there are people who are uncomfortable or afraid around Muslims?
Honestly, I think mainly because of 9/11, because we pretty much just believe that it was like Muslims who flew planes into the building. Also because of all the mass shootings where we have the person is supposed to be some, I don't know, some holy warrior for the ISIS
Akbar, when they yell Allah Akbar, yeah, that's that means they're doing it in the name of Allah. So that's not a misunderstanding, but
that one person isn't like representing the entire.
All right, stop right there.
Sure.
There's the key. What do you really know about the Muslim faith? Do you believe that the Quran states that infidels should be killed? Do you believe that? Do you think that's what it says?
I think it says that I'm trying to think of the word here, because it says it in the Bible as well, like those who go against God should be smitten or something like that. It's their version of it, basically. So, I think it actually does say in the Quran. I'm not 110% sure, because I haven't studied, like, you know, religion in at least 15, 16 years.
Let me tell you what bothers me about the Muslim faith. Let's be real honest here. Yeah, there's a lot of the Allah Akbar in the name of Allah, blah, 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 and it seems to always be killing people who aren't Muslim. But here's what really I don't understand, and only somebody in the Muslim community could help me, and maybe our buddy Muhammad could help me with this. If, in fact, they don't believe that infidels, that would be us, should be killed, why do we almost never see those people, and there are lots of them in this country, stand up and say, not true, we do not want that, and we are beyond upset and angry that other Muslims would do this or stay. Why don't they do that?
There are lots of videos like that on Facebook and on YouTube and on social media of people saying, hey, this is not us. Like, we don't, like, if you want to live your life how you want to live your life, go for it, you know? But they're not going to get
as much. I don't see any of that. Why don't I see that on the mainstream media? Why don't I see interviews with people in the things on their heads saying, we love Christians.
Because
we don't want to see you killed.
What do you think is going to sell more? Muslim person shoots up church or nightclub, or Muslim person comes out and says, hey, we're not all that bad? Like,
I don't care what sells more. If I'm Muslim and that's not true, and I'm sick and tired of these extremists representing us as Christian haters and murderers, I'm going to stand up and say, we want the attention. Whatever it takes to get the attention of the mainstream media, and say, we in large numbers, we in no way do we support this stuff. But I don't see that. And that bothers me.
Honestly, I believe that they are, but we're not giving them, like, you know, the microphone, as it were. We're not giving them their
I'll give a microphone the right lights. Here. Anybody listening who's Muslim who wants to call and defiantly and openly and emphatically let us know, you and all the Muslims like you that you know do not condone the killing of infidels, and that's not what you believe. I just don't seem to hear much of that, and that bothers me a little bit. Am I uncomfortable when I get on a plane or I'm at the airport and I see somebody with a turban-type thing who really does look very much like Osama bin Laden getting on the plane? Right or wrong, that kind of bothers me.
Just to help out a little bit, Muslims don't wear turbans. That is people of the Sikh faith, and the Sikhs, they don't want to blow anybody up.
Okay, right. Forget the turban thing. So let's just go with the Muslim. Let's go with the women, Muslim women.
The burqas.
Let's do that instead of the women. Yeah, them with all covered up except for the face. Let's use that as an example.
Sure.
Since I'm not completely sure what they really believe, it's still sort of vague. I need some definitive proof that I want to wipe us all out.
Well, from what I know and from what I was taught, the Muslim faith don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They would believe he was a prophet, a messenger of God. So we kind of believe in the same
person. Neither do Jewish
people.
They don't believe Jewish people
are
the Savior either.
I just wanted to help clarify a little bit. And the burqa, you know how nuns over here, they cover themselves up completely apart from their faith, their face, because that is them saying that they are only for God. They are only for the Lord himself. That way they keep themselves from being desired or flaunted.
But I don't see a bunch of nuns hijacking a plane, killing people.
True.
I don't see nuns proclaiming, Allah Akbar or praise be to God as they mow people down.
Right.
I don't see that.
Well, most of the people in the Western world I'm going to say it. Most of the people in the Western world are more educated than people out there in the Far East, you know? I mean, some places like Japan, sure, technologically advanced. Other places like Iran, complete backwards.
Betty Jean, second grade teacher at St. Sabina, would have.
But no, that's what the burqa represents. They're wearing that because they're saying, I only want my husband. Not
No, that's not true at all. They're not saying it. Their husbands are saying it, and the men of that religion have dictated it.
Well,
the women.
That's true.
The men say, here's what you're going to wear, and here's all you're going to show, and if you don't do it this way, we're going to cane you or stone you or kill you. I don't think the women, if they were given the choice, just like when somebody broke through and said, hey, we should be able to drive cars. I didn't see any of those women going, no, you don't speak for us. We don't want to drive. Of course they do. It's the men in that religion who have decided to tell women what they can and can't do.
But that's also in like the backwards country. I mean, there are Muslim women that drive over here, you know, because we have a more open and more welcome society. You go over to a place like Saudi Arabia, like what was it, the first Arab Spring, like when all of a sudden Iran just went nuts and a bunch of heretics, what's the word I'm looking for? Not heretics, like the other one where you're crazy. And you think
lunatics?
And the lunatics took over. And then all of a sudden, Sharia law was imposed, and that's when, you're homosexual, you're going to get stoned to death. Like, that's out there in those backwards countries, you know? That's over there in Saudi Arabia, in the United Arab Emirates. Like, that's all that craziness out there.
Dubai just... Last week, there was some statement issued that they're cracking down even harder on homosexuals.
They are.
And they cane them and stone them in public or something.
I think,
just for being gay.
There's a country called Brunei.
Yeah, it wasn't Dubai, Frank.
Yeah, it was Brunei. No, you're right.
It was Brunei. They just said, homosexuality is going to be, it's now punishable by death. Like, are you serious? And they use it, and that is because there is a bunch of a-holes in charge, and they're hiding behind religion to get their own agenda across. They're obviously, somebody doesn't like two dudes, touching butts or whatever it is. And so now, all of a sudden, they're this is against the rules.
Is that something they do, touch their butts together?
I think so. I'm not entirely sure.
I didn't realize that.
I've never really been with a guy.
You know what? That's the end of this discussion. It's over.
Sure.
It's done. We're finished. Because I don't blame people for not wanting to hear this. But at the same time, sometimes, I don't know, I can't help but just reach out to people and say, am I the only person who is sort of really wondering whether or not the majority of Muslims in that faith want us dead? It's a question. It's not a statement. It's a question.
And hasn't that been, since the beginning of man or whatever, a fight over religion? It's always been a religious fight.
Religion is the root of wars. Yeah. It's the root of hate. It's a misunderstanding of all kinds of things. Go ahead.
Sorry, lastly, we just had a texter just saying over, did he just say agenda? So can somebody say agenda for me in American?
Agenda?
Just did it. Actually,
say that again.
Agenda.
Agenda. Okay, all right.
Yeah, think of it this way.
Think
of it this way. You do kind of have a tendency to say agenda, but the Kennedys did that, you know. They would put that R on the end.
Right.
But here's what you got to try to do. Treat it the same way you treat the word vagina, because I don't ever hear you say I don't hear you say vagina.
Vagina.
So there you go.
Okay.
Now say agenda.
Agenda.
Yeah, all right. Save vagina.
I've got an agenda to get some vagina. Use them both, and that's my agenda.
Guy's on the phone with a story about someone talking in another language.
Well, I'd love to hear it. Everybody else want to hear it?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Let's yep. Well, bring him in here. Guy, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm being the PM as usual.
Well, of course you are. What's your story?
Well, I'm a truck driver, and I was going through Indiana, and there's a taxi driver in the hammer lane doing about 60. Speed limit 65, so I pass him. He's got his hand over the steering wheel on his wrist, and as I'm passing him, I'm watching him, and he runs into my trailer tires. Not once, not twice, but three times.
Into
he runs into my trailer tires.
Wow.
Okay.
So we go up. Highway patrol meets us up at the truck stop, and the guy cannot even speak a word of English. I told the officer exactly what happened, and the officer said, "Tell me in English what happened." He asked the taxi driver. Couldn't speak a word of English. He said, "Did you fall asleep? You were texting?" I said, "No, he wasn't texting," because I said I watched him when I went past him. I always watch people when I pass them, see what they're doing, you know, make sure they stay in their lane. So anyway, they found in favor of my story. They found in favor of my story instead of his. Well, wasn't a story; it was actual what happened, you know. But there's a lot of Muslim truck drivers that I encounter where I go to in Ohio, and most of them are pretty respectful. But the one thing I don't agree on: they don't use toilet paper.
That
if you ever
is,
go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's true.
What?
That is true. And
no,
yeah.
Dan, you didn't know this?
No.
Oh, no. This is something I will never understand.
What
and how in any way does this have anything to do with religion or where you go when you die, whether or not you use toilet paper? Wow. This is another part of the man-made rules of religion.
I don't know what it's called, but it's like this jug of water that they keep by the toilet, and then they kind of like pour some on their hands, splash some on the butt, pour some, like, you know, kind of wipe off the
No, I've heard this before.
No.
And look, by the way, folks, any misinformation we may be throwing out there, please, for goodness sakes, call us. But I've read, one night I stumbled on this, and so I read everything I could on it, and apparently they don't use paper. They use their hands.
Oh.
And it's the right hand.
Oh.
And I also read that the greatest insult you can get from someone of that religious persuasion is if they extend the left hand to you, because that's the wiping hand, is the left hand. If they extend the left hand to you, that's an insult, because that's the wiping hand.
Oh,
I misspoke,
man,
when I said right. The right hand is not used for that. And I for the life of me, I don't know how wiping with paper could be a bad thing. I don't know, man. There's a lot of misinformation, and I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of fake news or misinformation. So this is where we rely on somebody who is of that religion to help us out here. Because yes, I have heard that and read it so much that there has to be something to it. The bathroom habits. Okay, that's it. Now we're finished for sure. Except for callers, and we'll still take anybody who wants to call. We didn't give the numbers, but obviously somebody knows them, like Brian does. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Fantastic. What's up?
AM and a PM.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a old story going around about them too, that they cut holes in their sleepers, and they do it through their holes in their sleepers. And when people work on their trucks, they stick their hand in it so they won't work on their trucks no more.
What?
Hang on. You lost me there. Do it through a hole in the sheet and working on their trucks. I don't know.
No, hole in the sleeper.
They poop?
A hole in the sleeper, yes. They do everything through the hole in the sleeper, and it lands on a transmission and such. And so they... Now, I've had many mechanics tell me that work in these, in a truck shop, and they won't even work on their trucks no more because.
So the sleeper is the part of the cab. The sleeper is the part of the cab behind where the driver sits, right? That's that
exactly,
little sleeping compartment. And so you're telling me that the drivers who are Muslim
cut holes.
So they just pull over, go back there, poop through the floor of the sleeper, and it goes down onto the transmission.
Yes.
That's a new one. That's a new one.
That is definitely a new one.
Do you believe that?
That's been going on about 5 years now. Do I believe it? Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, you're obviously in the business, and we're not. Well, that's a new one. Thank you for that.
All right. Yep.
Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. Pooping in the sleeper truck.
Wow. Look, again, let me make this clear. We're not here interested in spreading misinformation. We're trying to learn here because we're at a point in this country where there's a lot of unnecessary hate, and there's a lot of discrimination, there's a lot of negative feelings toward people, and sometimes they're unfounded, but sometimes they're not unfounded,
right,
and they're based on accurate facts, and I'd like to know what those are. Dennis is next. Dennis, welcome to 590 The Fan. What do you got?
Hi, AM and the PM.
Thank you, Dennis.
So I spent a little time over in the Middle East, and I can talk a little bit about the no toilet paper issue. I don't know that it's a religious thing, but it's from how their houses are designed. It's a practical thing.
Here, they're not living in those houses here. Well, if they're still practicing that.
No, exactly right. But that's how they were raised. If they were born over there and they raised over there, they squat. They don't sit on a toilet. There's a room in the house with a little hole that goes into like a septic system.
I believe that's the same thing in India. I think India do that too. They stand over a hole.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Even had two separate porta potties, one for Western and one for the people that stand and do it. So, I don't know that it's a religious thing, but that's just the way that's designed.
So if it's not a religious thing, why in the world would you keep doing it?
I believe I have some info for you, Frank, because...
No, here we go. Thank you, Brian. Okay. Is that right? No, who's this? Is Brian?
Dennis. Yeah, Dennis.
Dennis, I'm sorry. Thank you, Dennis. We have to leave you now and go right to our head of research, okay?
Not wiping. Has its own Wikipedia page.
Is this breaking news?
I don't think it's breaking news, but we now turn to our head of research who has more on the question of to wipe with paper or not to wipe with paper. Here is Tim Woodburn. Tim.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I want to remind the listening audience that as of today, Franco Opinion does not have his own Wikipedia page, but Islamic Toilet Etiquette has its own Wikipedia page.
Really? Wow.
Islamic Toilet Etiquette got a Wikipedia page before Frank did. It's a set of personal hygiene rules in Islam followed when going to the toilet. This code of Muslim hygienical jurisprudence is known as Qada'ahahas.
And these rules can be found where?
Wikipedia, Islamic Toilet Etiquette.
My question is, where did Wikipedia get it? Because as we know, Wikipedia can be manipulated.
I can answer that in less than 60 seconds.
Go right ahead. I can't wait.
The rules of Islamic toilet etiquette are: a Muslim must first find an acceptable place away from standing water, people's pathways, or shade. They are advised it is better to enter the area with the left foot, fading away from the Qibla, which is the prayer point. It is reported that the hadith of Bukhari, that whenever that Muhammad went to the toilet, he said a phrase that I can't repeat, which is translated to, in the name of Allah, O Allah, I seek refuge, protection within you from all offensive and wicked things.
Yeah, that was...
While on the toilet, one must remain silent. Talking, answering greetings, or greeting others is strongly discouraged. When defecating together, two men cannot converse nor look at each other's genitals.
I am for that.
Eating any food while on the toilet is strictly forbidden.
Who would want to do that?
Yeah.
Especially chocolate ice cream.
Yeah. Oh. And finally, the answer to your question, the anus must be washed with water using the left hand after defecating. Similarly, the penis and vulva must be washed with water with the left hand after urinating. This washing is known as istinja. The Quran suggests that one should wash one's hands as well, which is discussed in Quran verse 5,
Hold on a second. It suggests you just wiped your butt with your bare hand. I would think they would suggest you wash your hand.
So my interpretation of this is, since the Quran doesn't say use toilet paper, they don't use toilet paper. The Quran says use water.
I know.
So they use water. They use hand and water. It doesn't specify, so they don't use it. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me.
Sure. Wow.
After reading that.
Man, you know what I would do? I'm going to start a company.
How about this? Here's what you do. Not be Muslim.
No. Talk to Thompson Price. This is a million-dollar idea.
The squall, like basically an in-ground squatting potty.
Go over to the Middle East and install bidets everywhere.
I don't think they would let you. I don't think they'd let you because they don't believe in sitting. You got to stand.
Well, I think that like that's a whole like cultural thing.
What about this million dollar idea? What if you just like created a foam hand with like two fingers sticking out and made those two fingers padded, and then you could just use that and not have to use your own hand
instead of the number one.
Yeah,
that number one big foam hand. You got number two.
Two.
I don't know how anybody could not be interested in this. I'm not kidding. How could you not find this interesting and then have a dozen questions for anyone who believes
The only rational thing that I can come up with is if they don't use toilet paper is because, as Dan said, or Dennis said, that they have, like, you know, the septic tanks down there. So maybe they didn't want to fill it up with paper or something like that.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. No,
you know?
It has nothing to do with it. Wow. It's not about septic tank or
because I know they. I know they squat also in China as well. They've got those weird public toilets where you.
So you did it again. You said China.
China.
I hang this out.
No. Let's practice. Okay. Let's practice.
Sorry.
Let's do our exercise. Say vagina.
Vagina.
Now say China.
China.
Whenever you want to get back on track, always go to the word vagina. That's your key word.
Okay.
That's your go-to word.
Got it.
Okay.
All
right.
I'm learning a lot here. Wow. I had certainly heard about this, but it looks like it's been confirmed.
Well, there's other theories on it, though, socially, that it has nothing to do with religion, that a lot of people around the world don't use it because they can't afford it. And you know,
In India, that could be a big problem.
Without. Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I guess the question is, you live here, and you're Muslim, you have a job, you can afford a toilet, and then if you practice that here with access to toilet paper, why? What's the reason? That's the only thing we have left to figure out is what is the belief?
Maybe it's a hard
specifically,
habit to break. I don't
know.
I went to Mizzou and lived in a dorm my freshman year, and this guy that lived next to me was from Turkey. And he roomed with a guy I went to St. Mary's with who was a year younger than me. He was my sophomore year, and I lived in a dorm. And this guy did not use soap when he showered. He had never been introduced to soap, and he flies to this country, and he knew English, but he didn't use soap when he showered, and after about 2 months, and I don't think he used soap when he washed his clothes either. I'm telling you, it's almost like you want to look at that train wreck. We all, as students at Hatch Hall at Mizzou, like wanted to step into Mike's room because his roommate Tufan, I remember this guy's name to this day, Tufan was his name, and I mean, you would pass. Some people like literally start dry heaving, gagging.
Strong.
But Mike, who lived in there with him, got used to the smell and therefore was able to absorb. Because I guess it slowly started
acclimated.
It sprouted like a plant, you know. And his nose was able to, you know.
So was it against his religion to use soap?
It was just a cultural thing. I asked him straight out to his face. I mean, put my blunt twist on. I said, dude, how do you ever expect a girl to give you the time of day if you don't use some soap when you wash that? And he's like, well, we don't do that where I come from. I don't like it. I don't like the feel of it. You know,
like, he doesn't like the feel of soap.
No, he didn't.
But he likes the feel of Fremunda cheese that's 3 weeks old water will never get rid of. He likes that feel.
I've never smelled a corpse. You know, people say it's a smell that's unimitable. But I got to think that this was pretty close. I mean, it was remarkably consistent that everybody that walked into his room would dry heave as they gagged their way out of the room.
I think the closest thing most men in this country will ever come to smelling a corpse is maybe smelling their wives during sex.
I'm kidding.
Wow. I was kidding, sort of.
Well, I've smelled like rotting animals before, and it's this horrible smell. It's like sweet ham that's gone bad. Like, it starts off sweet, and then you get closer, and it's just foul. It's just really bad. Like, worse than eggs. Or, like, rotten eggs, you know? It's just, it's not
a
good smell.
And this is a rotting animal corpse?
Yeah. Yeah. You're like in the summer, if there's like, you know.
How often have you smelled that? I mean.
Oh, well, there was one time.
Roadkill or something?
No. Like every now and again, if like, you know, somebody gets a squirrel that gets into their attic and then can't find its way out.
A what that gets in their attic? What is it?
Squirrel.
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 Did I say that?
Squirrel.
How do you say it?
All right, now let's go back. Say vagina. No, say vagina.
Vagina.
Now say squirrel.
Squirrel.
See? That worked. Vagina works for everything. It works for everything.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, but And yeah, this so I actually got called out to a house once, and they just had a horrible smell coming out of the washroom, and there was a dead squirrel on the
I helped a family move when I was young. I was a teenager, and I helped a buddy of mine. He said, "I'm helping these people move. You want to help?" I said, "Yeah, I'll help you help them move." I have never ever since been in a house that smelled as bad as these people's home. And when I was helping them move, I wanted to say something. How do you people, first of all, what did you do to stink this house up this way? And how do you stand it? I think they were oblivious to it. They lived in it and didn't notice it. I mean, it smelled like you almost needed a gas mask. And then they offered to have me stay for dinner because I'd helped them move all day. I didn't want to eat there. Because their food smelled weird.
Have you ever gone into someone's house and each house has its like own odor,
right?
A yes. little bit, and
yes,
and the people that live there, you don't notice anything like that. But no. To an outsider walking in, you notice something that's a little different.
And Frank asked her when he helped her move. He said, "You know, before I ask you why your house smells so bad, let's talk about this mustache you got going, man."
Now, see here, that's a reference from yesterday. If people didn't hear yesterday, they won't know what that means. But she didn't have a mustache, but boy, did their house stink. And I mean, and nobody said anything, and I guess you can't. It's rude and out of place.
Two people call, and one guy said that this reminds him of a joke that you probably haven't told in a while about washing fingers in a toilet or urinal or something like that. I'm not sure what that joke is.
I don't have any idea.
I had a listener text me, Frank, and says, TP wasn't a thing when the Quran was written. Early Christians used hand and water also, but we adapted and evolved.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, like most people do, as time goes on and we develop. I'm sure that there was a time when the cavemen didn't get their hair cut because there were no scissors. And then eventually somebody sharpened some stones and made some crude cutting tools.
Right.
But to not evolve and to continue to wipe with your hand because they did it 800 years ago doesn't make sense.
One listener just texted over, "This is a crappy conversation."
There was another guy that called and said his sister lived over in the Middle East for 10 years. She and her husband, and they were invited to a dinner party. Mm-hmm. And he reached with his left hand to get an apple or something off the table. As soon as he did that and took it off, he said they cleared the table off, and then they were never invited back.
Wow. Because he had just contaminated.
Yeah, they thought
the whole
he did.
Table. But see, that's a bit much because... Yeah. How's he supposed to know? That's a little extreme.
Yeah.
And I'm sure his left hand was clean, probably washed both. What I'm trying to find out is this. What is the religious reason or the belief that makes it unacceptable to use paper? It can't be because paper's unclean. It's right out of a package of clean, brand new paper. I don't understand what the offense is to
maybe they
God
just don't have a lot of toilet paper companies over there. I mean, maybe that's just
again,
not something they
then
have.
I'd like to know from somebody. What's interesting is nobody's calling, and I know.
Oh, we have two calls. We have Mark
know,
on the
Muslim,
phone and
but,
Steve.
No, I mean, Muslim callers.
Right.
See, they won't participate. They won't jump in and go, all right, here's the real story. Just like they won't, in any numbers at all, say, yeah, we don't believe all you should be killed because you're infidels. All right, this is getting pretty heavy, but I don't want to ignore these pieces. Is Steve next? Is that who's next?
Yes,
or
Steve.
Mark? Or, Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan and our new format called International Customs. That's our new format. How are you and what do you got for us?
I am AM and PM.
Thank you.
And I know that joke. I'll tell you. I'll give it to you here in a minute. I got a couple things.
Okay.
Remember the Seinfeld episode where Jerry took his car and the valet guy stunk so bad he couldn't get rid of the BO out of the car.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That?
Yep.
I went to a house the other day to go in and. When I left, I thought I was going to have to go home to change clothes. It was horrible. I thought I smelled like that, you know. So, but the joke he's talking about, Frank, is the guy that's in the he's in the third world country or something, and he goes to the shack to use the bathroom, and there was no toilet paper, and it, there was a hole in the wall with a sign on it. You remember?
Not yet. No. Go ahead.
And it says he realizes there's no toilet paper, and then the sign says, put your
Weezer
fingers in here.
Oh, fingers.
And your fingers will be cleaned by, I think, human mouth or something like that. So apparently he sticks his hand in there, and something whacks him with a hammer, and he sticks his fingers in his mouth.
Oh! I've heard that,
too. Yeah, now I remember it, but oh, my goodness, yeah.
That's a visual.
It's not Playhouse worthy, but it's funny.
You got to tell that joke in front of somebody. You got to do a visual on that
you
one.
You have to.
Exactly. It's a visual, kind of like the tapeworm joke is a visual. And I'll tell that once I hang up from Steve here. Steve, thank you for the call.
Hey, Frank, real quick, I got one joke that you can put on your list.
Okay.
Remember the guy that called ahead to get the honeymoon cabin because he had just gotten married and he's out there fishing all day? Do you remember that?
Oh, the worms?
Yes,
I do remember.
You talk about a disgusting joke. That one.
No. That's not as disgusting as the chili joke, or as disgusting as Pierre the Boil Sucker, or as disgusting as the one that I mentioned yesterday that I haven't told for at least 25 years, and I only stopped. It was my own decision to stop telling it because I just thought maybe I should stop telling this joke. For enough money, I'll tell that joke again for the first time in 25 years. But thank you for the reminder about the fishing joke. That is a great joke. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Steve. So here's the tapeworm joke. But again, like Tim said, some jokes, you have to act it out as you tell it. And the guy goes to a doctor, and he gets examined, and he's losing weight like crazy. And the doctor says, "You got a tapeworm." And he said, the guy says, "Well, I've heard of that. It's actually a," he said, "Yeah, it's like a really long worm inside your body, and it's eating. You're not getting all the nutrition, and you're losing weight because it's eating all your food." He goes, "Well, what do we do?" And the doctor says, "Well, I don't do anything. You got to go to, Dr. Jackson. He's a tapeworm specialist. That's all he does." So he goes to see this guy, and Dr. Jackson says, "All right, I want you to come back tomorrow. We're gonna get this tapeworm. I want you to come back tomorrow, and I want you to bring an apple and a pie." Dan, do you remember that? An apple and a pie. So the guy comes back the next day, and the doctor closes the door. He says, "All right, pull your pants down, pull your underwear down, and bend over that table." And the doctor takes the apple and shoves it up the guy's butt, all of it. And then he counts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He goes, "All right, hand me that pie." And he shoves the whole pie up the guy's butt. He goes, "All right, pull your pants up and come back tomorrow. Same time, bring another apple and another pie." And the guy's thinking, this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. But he wants to get rid of the tapeworm, so he does it. He comes back the next day, he's got an apple and a pie. Doctor says, "All right, pull your pants down, pull your underwear down, bend over the table." Shoves the apple up the guy's butt. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. "Give me that pie." He shoves the pie. He says, "All right, see you tomorrow. Bring another apple and another pie." Same thing the next day. Apple, pie, shoves them up, counts to 5, then shoves the pie. "All right, come back tomorrow," he says, "and just bring an apple." And the patient says, "Well, what about the pie?" He says, "Just look, who's the tapeworm the doctor here, okay? Just bring an apple." So he comes back the next day. Doctor closes the door, says, "Pull your pants down, pull your underwear down, bend over the table." He does. The doctor shoves the apple up his butt. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And after 3 or 4 more seconds, the tapeworm sticks his head out of the guy's butt and goes, "Hey, where's my pie?" Boom, got him. You have to visually demonstrate the doctor hitting the tapeworm on the head when he goes, "Hey, where's my pie?"
Do you bend over and put your hands on your knees when you tell that punchline?
No, I don't do the bend over part. It's just such a ridiculous joke, a tapeworm going, "Hey, where's my pie?" Oh, man. Who else? We have is Mark.
He's still on the phone.
Let's talk to Mark and then we'll whatever. Mark, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Can I say hi to Karen?
No. No.
Sorry. Okay. Anyway, hey, I'm a plumber, and they a lot of those people, and they don't really use their hands. They install like a little handheld sprayer, like on your kitchen sink, that hangs mm-hmm. from the toilet, and we hook it up to the valve, and they use that to wash their butts.
Huh.
So really? you're confirming they don't use paper.
Well, I don't think they use a lot of paper, but I don't think they use their hand either. I mean, I don't
But you don't know they don't use their.
Well, they've got to use some paper to dry up afterwards.
No, not really.
Use like
telling
a towel.
My point is that Mark here wouldn't know if they use their hand or not, because you don't watch them go. You just see a sprayer there, which makes sense to me. You spray and you kind of wipe excess off and with your hand and go about your business. So you're confirming they have a sprayer, but you really cannot confirm or deny that they don't use paper.
Yeah, and well, honestly, they have the sprayers, but that's kind of a tight-knit community. I've never really installed one for them. I've installed them for other people that use them. But, you know, I can't say who puts them in, but I know they're out there and they're very popular.
Kind of a handheld
bidet. It's sort
of
a poor man's, what's a poor man's bidet. That's exactly right.
I guess so.
All right, Mark, I appreciate it.
Hey, I don't know when the last time I got a joke, if you told it or not, about the two deaf people on their honeymoon.
Oh, yeah. Pull on it 47 times. Yeah, we just told it a few weeks ago. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I love it when people start remembering jokes. Oh, speaking of that, I have to mention this. The joke today, I will be telling it because I'm getting $200 for telling it from a listener named Gary. No. Gary originally called and said, hey, if you'll tell this joke, and it was another joke, and he said, if you'll tell it, I'll give you $100 for St. Jude, for Window World. I wrote him back, I said, well, I just told it a few weeks ago, and by the way, $100 won't cut it if you want to come up with more money and another joke. So he emails me back and he goes, okay, and then he referenced the joke I'm going to tell today, and he said, I'm good for the $200. So I got $200, which leads me to this suggestion. If there is a joke that you want me to tell, and I don't care if I just told it 2 weeks ago, it's for St. Jude Children's Hospital, you want to cough up what I consider to be a reasonable amount of money, I'll tell it. I'll be happy to tell it. So there's another way we can scratch up a few extra bucks and people can contribute and donate who can't afford, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 to sit at our trivia night table. So Gary, thank you in advance, and I sent him information about where to send the check and all that, so thank you for the $200, and yes, today I will tell the joke, and I know who the guy is in the sense that he has been very generous before when we've needed money for things, so I know he's good for it, and I know he'll send it, so that's yet another idea. And then, of course, there's always the dinner at Annie Gunn's with me and my wife. We will still take bids to sit with us trivia night at our table. And then one last thing I want to mention, for anybody who's sort of thinking about getting on the waiting list for this European River Cruise, here's the reason you might want to do that if you can. This will be our last trip. I'm about 98% sure. I don't ever want to say anything's 100%, but I can tell you right now, this is going to be it more than likely. We will not have another trip with listeners, and we're going to go out in style. Our last trip with listeners will be far and away the most spectacular trip, the nicest trip that we've ever taken. A ship that accommodates 165 passengers. And think about this. We'll make up half the ship. We're going to own that ship. The listeners, it's going to be a blast. So Facebook page has all the info if you want to get on a wait list in case somebody drops out on that trip. All right, First Community Credit Union is a place to bank. Bank's not in the name, but it's a place to bank. I want you to consider that if there's some stuff you need to do to your house, like home improvement type stuff, but you don't have the cash, think about using the equity in your home to get a home equity line of credit from First Community Credit Union. So let's say they pre-approve you and go, yeah, easily you're good for 30, 40 grand, whatever. Knock yourself out. Do whatever you want with your house. They'll give you a very reasonable rate. In fact, I want to make sure, I don't want to misquote this rate, so I'm going to reach over here and get, so that I don't mess. I know it's 2.9. I want to say like 2.49. Ooh, in fact, it is 2.49. If you apply for that home equity line of credit by June 30th, you will get an introductory rate of 2.49% APR for the first 12 months. A great rate and a great way to get what you want to get done to your home now and not have to put it off. Don't forget wedding loans, too. Wedding loans, daddy of the father of the bride. Yeah, she and mom, they're going to make sure you spend a little money on that wedding. And First Community Credit Union, I don't ever remember hearing anybody else locally promote wedding loans, but they do. They do it all. It's a great place to bank. First Community Credit Union, more at firstcommunity.com. Dr. Doug Pernikoff will join us after we check in with John Londoff. So if you have a pet, be ready to call right away when we give the numbers. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Attorney General William Barr says the FBI under President Obama spied on the 2016 Trump presidential campaign, Barr told a Senate.